Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And if you'd like, you can also open up the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. We'll be reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, from verse 11 through verse 20. And then we'll read from verse 6 through verse 13 of Romans chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. Romans 10, 6 through 13. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your precious words today. I thank you for the privilege to be able to stand publicly and read the Word without fear of interference or reprisal. I'm appreciative of the fact that we live in a land yet where we can open the Bible and read the passage and declare the message that you lay upon our hearts. I ask, Father, that you'll bless in every heart and life each one that's here today, especially glorify the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for I pray in my Savior's name today. Amen. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou shouldest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, shalt be drawn away, worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, that ye shall not proclaim or prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now in the book of Romans chapter 10, beginning with verse 6 and reading on through verse 13. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I trust you gather the association of these two passages, one Old Testament, the other New, but I'm persuaded that Paul probably, very likely, had in mind Deuteronomy chapter 30 whenever he used the same reference pertaining to the righteousness that God has now provided through our Lord Jesus Christ, and used much the same wording as the man Moses was using. Let me give you just a little bit of background for this passage that we've read today. And if you'd like a title for this, Life and Death Set Before You. Life and Death Set Before You. Moses, before he dies, is preparing Israel to go into the land of promise. And he's close to the end of his life now. There are six tribes that he has appointed to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless. It's Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. In chapter 27 and verse 12 of the book of Deuteronomy. There are six tribes to stand on Mount Ebal to curse. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. 27 verse 13. The curses are pronounced in chapter 27 verses 14 through 26. The blessings are pronounced in chapter 28, 1 through 14. And the curses then are continued in 28, 15 through 68 of that particular chapter. And you'll notice that if you want to take time and read them, that there's a lot of things associated in as a reaction to actions that they might carry out. And the children of Israel are then admonished. And Moses points out that the choice is theirs, as we have read from chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. In our text that we've read today, we'll notice, first of all, that the word is near or nigh at hand. It's not far off. And he gave us four things, really, that the word is not. He said, first of all, the word is not hidden from you. Thank God today that God's word is not hidden to mankind. If there is a place on planet Earth today that is still in darkness, it's because we as the children of God have not done everything that we ought to do. Because the Bible admonishes us today to be a witness to every creature, to go to the uttermost part of the earth. The Word of God is not hidden today. It's open and it's abroad. It's not far off. It's not up in heaven, Moses said. This blessing of life that I am setting before you today is not out of reach. It's not up in heaven with the idea that who are we going to send to bring it down for us? You realize how good God has really been to this planet Earth today to put within our possession the book that we call the Bible, to have the Word of God ready at hand. And we're not having to wonder if there's somebody that would qualify to go and find that Word and bring it to us. But it's here on planet Earth today. It's not in heaven, and he said it's not across the sea. It's not in some other place that we'd have to send somebody across the sea so that they can bring it to us and we can do it. It's not to be so far off and so out of reach that we have to have someone else to go, but you and I have ready access to the Word of God. So I present to you that the Word is very nigh at hand. And that's what Moses wants them to understand. He said, I have set before you today blessing and cursing. It's not far off. You've heard it. We see that, again, the six tribes stood on one mountain to pronounce the blessing. The other six tribes stood on the other mountain to pronounce the curse. There's not anything left to doubt. There's not anything that's left in question about God's will and God's purposes. And he said, it's very near you. It's nigh thee. And how close did he say it was to the children of Israel? It's nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. In words, not only how they heard it, but they've spoken it. It was the tribes that would pronounce the blessing and pronounce the curse. In other words, it's in their mouth. Now, there is a sense in which it is really well to not only read something with the mind, but sometimes to voice it with the mouth. The more senses you involve, the better off you are. Remember, David in prayer said, I will pray and cry aloud. Now, I realize that there's time and a place for silent prayer. But do you realize there's also a time that you need to be alone? You can talk to God. I'm talking about with a voice. Express the words and say the words. They're in your mouth. And the Word of God has been pronounced. It's been spoken by these tribes. And Moses is saying, I've set before you life and death. It's not far off from you. It's very nigh you. It's in your mouth. And he says, it's down in your heart. Because the Word of God has a way of just searching down into the depths of our heart. I, like most of you, have read certain books in life. I do read a few books. And they'll have some measure of effect upon me. But I have never found anything that will search my soul like the Word of God does. As it penetrates the heart, we begin to meditate upon those things. And then we begin to realize, say, this is life and death. This is reality today. One thing to read fiction is another thing to read reality. And as you read the Word of God, you're reading reality. Life and death is set before them. And this is what Moses said. I set it before you this day. The Word's nigh you. Now, the second thought I want to present to you this morning as we're looking into this text and with this thought in mind, since Moses said, I've set before you life and death, where is life to be found? Where is life to be found? Well, Moses points out in his day and under that particular government or covenant of the day, there were certain things that Israel was to do. They were to honor the Lord. They, by and large, that was their main responsibility, was just to honor the Lord and everything they did, and everything else would normally fall into place. But there were certain restrictions, certain things that they were to do, refrain from, and also certain things that they were to do that were expressed in the blessing that was pronounced from the Mount Gerizim. And then, of course, on the other side, there was the cursing pronounced from Mount Ebal. But I want to point out to you that we find the fuller answer in the book of Romans, chapter 10. And if we wanted to, we'd go back and read even the first verses. We started with verse 6, but I would remind you that Paul, as he introduces the subject in Romans chapter 10, began with his love for his brethren according to the flesh. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, you talk about a crying of a heart and a longing of a heart. Oh, would today that we had some conviction about the lost souls and the consequences of dying without Jesus Christ. I think of the stark reality of life lived and death coming without Jesus Christ, it'd sober us today. If we could just see that, it would cause our hearts to be compassionate toward the lost. It probably would drive us to our knees so that we'd want to begin to cry out for the sake of those souls. But Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He went on to point out, I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Then he points out, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And thus we see the association of these two thoughts today. Where is life to be found? Well, let me point out where it's not to be found. It's first of all not found in just pure, in religion itself. I realize today that we live in a somewhat religious world. Paul spoke of it in his day as folks being very religious or superstitious. They were conscious of a need in their lives. But the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 10 of a nation of people that are kin to him, close kin to him. And he said this about them. They've got a great zeal. I mean, they're dedicated. And as I read through the Old Testament, I find that there were times that, from a national standpoint, that folks lapsed in their commitment to the things of God. But I also find that at times, and even in those times, there were certain individuals that were very dedicated to God. Remember in the days of Elijah, a nation in apostasy, yet there was one man, servant to King Ahab, and he would hide the prophets of God, sometimes by 10, by 50, whatever opportunity he had. He'd hide those prophets, he'd feed those prophets, and he'd slip them out so that their lives would not be taken. I mean, he was a man that was dedicated to his cause, even in the face of great apostasy and great opposition to the things of God. There were men that were very zealous in their actions, and in some cases they were very real in others, but Israel, by and large, had a great zeal for religion, but they had let it deteriorate to a place that it was not appropriate and did not fit the need of the heart and the life. And so they were very religious. And so it's not found in religion. The truth of the matter is, life is not found in self-righteousness. Paul went on to say, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I say it often, but I need to say it again. If you have any thought of attaining a self-righteousness that God will accept today, abandon that as quickly as you can. Just put it behind you, because it will not happen. You will not find life in self-righteousness. Now, you'll find life in righteousness, but it'll be the righteousness of Christ. You'll not find it in self-righteousness. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about to establish their own righteousness. And Paul said they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And thus we find that life will not be found in religion alone. It will not be found in self-righteousness. And then we find where it really is found. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. That's where you're going to find life today. I'm setting before you life and death, just as Moses did in his day, as one group of six tribes stood on Mount Gerizim and the other six tribes stood on Mount Ebal. One pronounced a blessing, the other pronounced a curse. And Moses said, I've set before you life and death. I want to, if I can, from the depths of my heart, set before you life and death today. And life is found in Jesus Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, the law demands performance. That's what Paul said in Romans 10. He said that Moses basically said, this is the law of Moses. You have to do it. Or it demands performance. And we know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, we failed in that. But Christ is to be received by faith. And now we come to the faith, the word of faith that Paul preached. And in that faith, there are some things that need to be said and pointed out. First of all, as we think about the word of faith that Paul preached, it embraced two vital truths. Now, that's not all that we need to know, but we must know these things to find life. First of all, we're going to have to know who Jesus Christ is, the person of Christ. We have to know who He is. One time, remember, the Lord said to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to give the common answers of the day. Some thought, this is John the Baptist. Herod kind of had that thought in the back of his mind. And he was the one that perpetrated his death. As he yielded to the wiles of a woman that danced before him and his drunken crowd and pleased them. And that young woman came and said, I want the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And because of the oath that he had given, he had told that young lady as she pleased him, said, I'll give you everything up to the half of my kingdom. What'd she ask? She asked for the head of that Baptist preacher. She didn't want wealth. She didn't want the power of that kingdom, but she wanted the death of the man that had said to Herod and to her mother, this is not good what you're doing. You're the wife of another man, and what you're doing is wrong. And because that preacher stood his ground, Herod took his life at the request of that young woman. But that was one of the answers that was given. John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Others referred to him as Elijah. Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But I say to you that none of them were true. And finally it came to the point that the Lord said, but whom do you say I am? Very directly to the disciples. He'd asked, whom do men say that I am? They gave him the answers that were common to the day. Now, he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter made the greatest confession you'll ever find. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you're going to have to believe that today, folks. You're going to have to accept that. You're going to have to honor that and know that to ever be saved. Folks will not be saved any other way. You're going to have to embrace two vital truths, the person of Christ, who He is. And He said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What's He saying there? He's confess who He is. Now, there are folks who are willing to confess Jesus Christ existed and say He was a good man. He was a prophet. He was a great teacher. But I want you to know He's the Son of God. And God the Son, by the way. You have to embrace the vital truth. Two vital truths. Person of Christ. The second thing is that Christ was raised from the dead. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't be saved. Period. That's the Word of God. It's not my idea. It's God's Word on it. And I sure like God's Word as I try to set before you life and death today. Jesus Christ died on the cross, evident by everything that transpired in the record. Even to the point whenever that Roman soldier thrust the spear into that one side. The Bible said that there came out water and blood, indicating a dead person. It was not one who was in a swoon and might have revived, but it was literally the evidence of a man who had literally died. And very likely he died of a ruptured heart. I think Jesus Christ died of a broken heart that was brought on by a heart of love. I tell you what, I would that we'd begin to perceive the love of God today. But I present to you, they took Him down from the grave, they sealed the tomb, they set the guard, but they couldn't hold Him. And He arose from the grave. And you'll have to embrace these two vital truths, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died and He was raised again from the dead. The word of truth that, or word of faith that Paul preached was, he said, you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's been said that there are secret disciples, but I question that. There's something about being a Christian that'll work its way to the surface and it'll come out through the mouth. Just to be able to declare, I know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saved my soul. I confess Him for who He is, the very Son of God. I honor Him because He died for me. I appreciate what He did because He arose for me. And thank God one day He's going to come for me and give me a glorified body. I'm just giving you that for you this morning. But confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead. I point out again, you must embrace these truths. Then he said in verse 13, call upon Christ's precious name. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm not talking about reciting prayer, some ritual. I'm not talking about salvation being in a formula. Salvation's in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ, and He's the one to call upon if you ever want to be saved. Now, we didn't take time and you can do this at your own leisure, but read the rest of Romans chapter 10. There's questions that Paul raises and then answers. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Is that not logical? It's a good question. Paul preached that they might hear. Moses gave direction that they might hear. He said a group of six over here on this mountain, that they might declare the blessing, that they might hear. Not only was it was in their mouth, but it was in the ears of those that were listening down below. On the other mountain, there was a curse that was pronounced. And those who were down below, they heard. And Paul said, I'm preaching that you might hear. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? All today. The words nigh thee, I'm presenting life and death to you. As Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I'm setting before you life and death. Paul preached that they might believe. And after hearing, they might believe. As the word of God was given, and Israel stood at the bottom of the mountains, Blessing over here, curse over here. They had to embrace it in one fashion or another. They either said, I'll accept this, or I'll turn my back to it and walk away. And the curse was that if they turned away, everything would literally fall apart for them. When they went into that land, it would not be open to them. They would not have the blessings of the abundant crops and the lack of disease. And you just read through it, and you'll find out that God promised them a great deal. He said to Israel of old, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll not have any of the diseases of Egypt. That meant the plagues, but also there was a lot of prevalent disease in the land that God said, I'll protect you from. There are some things that God will protect you from this morning, young folks, if you'll turn to Jesus Christ. It might be that you could live your life without a lot of regrets and a lot of things that you might have to try to set right someday. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just to be able to look back at life and say, thank God, He saved me young and He kept me from. After hearing, they might believe. And in believing, they in turn might call upon the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Final thought this morning. Death comes to all who believe not. Death comes to all who believe not. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 said, He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Life and death are set before you. Moses said, I'm setting before you life and death. Curse and blessing. The choice is yours in this sense this morning. Because it's been set before you, the word is nigh you, the opportunity is here today. The word's not off over in Europe now. It came over with those first settlers that came over. The word of God has been spread abroad in this land. And I'm preaching it to you today. It's nigh you. It's not outside this building. It's not down the street. It's not across town. It's right here. You can believe today. The choice is yours. Christ is set before you as life. And all the consequence of rejection is death. Final question this morning. What will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? What will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Pilate of old, after he had made some effort to release Jesus Christ, said to the Jews, what am I then to do with Jesus who is called the Christ? You might be asking this morning, what am I to do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Well, you can reject him, but you ought to believe on him. I recommend faith in Jesus Christ at this moment in time, in your life. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Let's stand together. Musicians come, head bowed, eyes closed for a moment. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you that we have the record of Moses setting before the children of Israel life and death. And Father, I've honestly tried to put before this people today life and death. And oh, that people might choose life today. I pray that your precious will be done in this invitation as we extend it, which we believe to be your invitation. The word is here today. It's been preached. Folks have heard it. There is that opportunity of response. I am persuaded the Spirit of God has spoken to hearts and lives here in this place today, and I trust your precious will to be done. For I pray again in the name that is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ.